2005 to order. Organizational meeting, election of officers. Mr. Rocco, give me some education here.
You can make some motions if you'd like, Mr. President.
Well, why don't you make some motions then, please?
Mr. President, Madam Speaker, I move the emergency board appoint President Courtney and Speaker Minnis to serve as co-chairs of the board for the 2005-07 interim.
Okay, so the Secretary has put into a motion form the selection as co-chairs, the Speaker of the House, Karen Minnis, the cousin of the Oregon Senator, Peter Courtney. Any other motions to be made at this time?
Vote would be in order.
Any discussions about the motions? We'll have to make a big deal of it. Is there any objection to the motion? Then that means motion carried.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Congratulations to you. We now go to the Secretary of the...
I can make a motion, Mr. President.
Why don't you do it a second time since you know about it?
I think he has a script.
They schooled me, sir.
Okay,
I move that the emergency board appoint Representative Scott to serve as Secretary of the Board for the 2005-07 interim.
Secretary moves it. Representative Scott, serve as Secretary of the emergency board. Discussions about this motion. Any objections to this motion? Motion prevails. I'm listening, Senator Schrader.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move that the emergency board appoint Ken Rocco, legislative fiscal officer, to serve as the executive officer of the board for the 2005-07 interim. He's uniquely qualified with his sadomasochistic tendencies to perform these duties for the next 18 months.
I was going to ask him if he really wanted it.
Senator Schrader has moved that Ken Rocco...
We don't get choices.
The executive officer of the emergency board.
Mr. Co-Chair, I suggest that you do this quickly before he backs out.
Is there any discussion of that motion? Is there any objection? That's taken care of. We're now under the adoption of rules.
Mr. President?
Yes, Mr. Trader.
I'd like to move we adopt the emergency or have the emergency board adopt the proposed rules. I'd like a discussion on proposed rules B. They differ from proposed rule A in item 7 on the proposed B list. They're standard rules. 7 indicates affirmative vote of majority of the appointed members of each chamber required to approve requests made to the emergency board.
You're making a motion?
Making a motion, Mr. President.
Could you make a motion?
Mr. Right. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'd like for Senator Schrader to repeat his motion again, please.
I'm moving the proposed rules B and then explaining that they differ from proposed rules A in that line 7 on the proposed rules B. Is the affirmative vote of majority of appointed members of each chamber is required to approve requests made to the emergency board. I would be prepared to briefly discuss this motion.
To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I know that there's been a lot of discussion about this. We've had some good times, some difficult times in this last legislative session. Wanted to hopefully get us off where we're working together on an equal basis for the next 18 months, if at all possible. And certainly there's been some historical significance where this has occurred. Recent years it's been done differently. So it's a function, I think, of trying to restore a little balance to the e-board. We're from different parties, different chambers, looking forward to working here as friends and colleagues and just get off to a really, really good start, Mr. President.
Further discussion.
if I may, Mr. President, I would oppose this motion. I think we would revert back to the proposed rules A. I think we have operated well under those rules, and I think you and I work very well during the last fee board under those rules. I think it's more collaborative when you have a majority of the whole. I have seen the struggle we've had with the majority of each house and the Joint Ways and Means Committee. I think that has done more to polarize us than to pull us together. And so I would not support the motion. I think a majority of the whole will allow us to pull together more easily to accomplish the goal of this e-board. Mr. President, I respect you greatly, and I hope I'm not presumptuous in saying that I believe that you and I do have an ability to come together and make our decisions together on this agenda. And I do not believe that the current rules would preclude that.
One of the things that I respect very much about the bicameral form of legislature is that it attempts to balance two chambers. One chamber has usually a great many more individuals in it than the other chamber, but both chambers are equal. Both chambers are, stand as a balancing on each other. And all the joint committees I've served on, there's always been the rule that it took the majority of respective chambers to pass matters out, in deference to the constitutional form of government we have, which says that we will have a House and a Senate chamber. Now, in I have just sunny-died a session in which I appointed a number of conference committees. Those committees, by definition, are designed to join together members of the House and the Senate over an issue that they're split on. Even there, in order for the measures to return to both chambers in agreement, both chambers have to agree to what is done. I feel very strongly about this, so strongly that I attempted through legislation this session to correct what I think is a flaw in Oregon's structure of government, and that is the emergency board. The emergency board was founded way back in 1911, and at that time there was an equal number of members in the House and the Senate on it. In fact, there were only four. There were three other members in that emergency board. They happened to be the governor and the state treasurer and the secretary of state. Subsequently, they would leave, and they would continue to make it seven members of the legislature. The legislature has always had a one-person balance or favoring the House. And I think if you can make an argument for that, in that the House now has 60 members and the Senate has 30, and I respect that. But in all forms of bicameral thought, both chambers need to be equal and check and balance each other. To be very frank with you, it isn't a matter of Democrat or Republican. It has really has nothing to do with that, even though I recognize we're in a partisan body and politics plays a part in all our lives. It has to do with the fact that you have a very fragile and special form of government. I very much support this rule, and to be frank with you, I never was on e-board really till last time. Didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. Really did not crazy about being on e-board. I'm here because I'm required to be so as Senate President. But I was startled when I found that they actually had a rule that allowed the majority of the full board to decide what actions to be taken as opposed to the majority of each chamber. So I just have this philosophical difference with the Speaker on this, it goes well beyond just the emergency board. It goes to all joint committees as well as conference committees in the way we do our governing in this state as well as 49 other states. So we've been here a long time, and the key to the rules be is exactly what Senator Schrader said and what the Speaker has spoken to and I've spoken to, and the question is whether or not we want to have a majority of both chambers or the majority of the board.
If I could, Mr. President, but on the Joint Ways and Means Committee, it was a majority of the whole before last session, and we changed that rule last session in the Joint Ways and Means Committee. And I think that rule change, with all due respect, has not helped us pull together. I think it's polarized us. I would hope that the rules that with this e-board has operated under for, I don't even know how long this rule's been in place. I don't think it rarely is there even a discussion. I have seen it work well. And, Mr. President, I would anticipate going forward that it, that would continue to be the case. So I would oppose the proposed rule of change.
I understand that. Is there other persons who wish to speak on this issue?
Mr. President, I would like to be on record as supporting the proposed rules B, because recognizing the fact that we are two different bodies and the way we think and do things sometimes are different and needfully so. And so with that in mind, I would go on record as supporting the proposed rules B.
Further discussion on the motion, Mr. President. Recognize Senator Scott, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Actually, you know, democracy takes its place, and this board should be no different. And so I would be hopeful that we would allow the number to be a total rather than to try and divide it into the two houses or chambers. I think that it's important that we try very hard to work together, and that seems to me to be the most provides the most ability for us to do that. So I would be in opposition to having it divided.
Further discussion? Yes, Senator Weston, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do support the proposed Rule B changes and have a great deal of agreement with Representative Scott's comments about a democracy. I would like to point out, however, that we participate and practice our craft in this building in a representative democracy with very clear separations and balances of power. I think there is an inequity in rules that would allow a majority of the whole. And having said that, I would ask for a clarification both in the proposed rule or proposed B's that with regard to 7, affirmative vote of the majority of the appointed members of each chamber is required to approve requests made to the E-Board. Do we need any specificity with regard to the subcommittees? And is there perhaps a compromise where the subcommittees could be of both chambers, majority of both chambers, and the whole continue to be a majority of the whole, or the full committee?
I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, just to keep it simple, what is unclear to me in 7, as I read it, it appears to deal only with the full committee and does not make any reference to the subcommittee.
That is correct.
And then, conversely, on the A's, I do not see any item, and I'm probably at this hour in this state of grogginess just missing it. On the A's, I don't see, I see in 9 where it says the rules may be changed by an affirmative vote of the majority, but I don't see where any item brought before the board has to be approved by either a majority or of the whole or a majority on either side.
Traditionally, that's been approved by chairs. I have that. Senator Portney can King's-X my suggestions, and I can King's-X his, and that's how it's worked, and I think it's worked well. Ken, how is it traditionally on the subcommittees? Is it just a majority of the whole?
Madam Chair, members, since the rules have traditionally been that it's a majority of the members of the point, a majority of the appointed members, the subcommittees have functioned that way also. It's a majority of the appointed members to get something out of committee to full. And the rules in the past have indicated that a subcommittee can't hold an item, so that ultimately the full board decides on the item. The subcommittee can, you know, present it to the full board with a recommendation of denial, but the subcommittee can do that, but the full board can override that by a vote of the majority of the members of the board.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question, I think, to both co-chairs to maybe reflect on the requirement that agenda items require approval of both chairs, so or co-chairs, and how you would see that play to this proposed rule.
Traditionally, as we did it last interim, the Senate President and I sit down and we have a list of requests and we go through them and we have to agree on whatever comes and is placed on the agenda. It worked well. Can I just also make the point that I believe that this is considered one body? This isn't looked upon as two separate chambers. This is one body. This is an appointed body that's been duly elected by the 73rd Legislative Assembly. So I don't think we should view ourselves as separate entities. We are one body. And so a majority of the whole, in my opinion, has worked well, and traditionally well, and I can't even remember the last time on e-board, and I've been here a few years, that it's even really been a problem. So I would support the traditional.
The setting of the agenda is independent of this rule. This rule speaks to actions taken by the emergency board regarding budgetary matters. A few moments ago, the presiding officers of both chambers made appointments. Those appointments had to be confirmed by the affirmative vote of separate votes of both chambers, acting separately, as we do all legislative matters here. This group of individuals reflects perfectly the House and the Senate in terms of a governing body, in terms of how it was constituted and how individuals came here. They are not just appointed, they actually were voted upon to represent their respective chambers. So it is very important to note the integrity of each chamber is represented here. And I feel very strongly about that, and that's what this speaks to. Further discussion, please. Yes, Senator Gordon, please.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
A question about our timing in looking at making this decision now. And I'm picking up on your use of the word, Mr. President, reflect. I don't know about the rest of you, but I've been up about 26, 27 hours. And I'd like to reflect on critical decisions. Is this a decision that we must make at this meeting, or is it a decision that can wait until we convene in October, so that we do have time to think and process and...
Can I ask Mr. Rocco, do you have an answer in response to that, or does Legislative Council there have a response to that? Are we required at this meeting specifically? I don't know.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, I believe the statutes say that you must meet immediately after sine die to organize. And I'm not sure if that means adopting of rules. You've already approved officers and a fiscal officer. I think you could probably delay adoption of rules until before your first meeting, but you'd have to do that before you took any action at your first meeting.
Mm-hmm. That would be my recommendation to the co-chairs, that we delay making this decision. I'm tired. I want to reflect.
Representative Morgan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I've heard a lot of discussion this morning about the separation of the chambers and the integrity of the chambers and the need to protect that separation. But I would also ask you to reflect upon the institution as a whole and the need that we have to bring the chambers together to take a look at what is the best policy for the state of Oregon. We've been selected to serve on this board by our leadership because we have the most experience in the process in the kinds of issues that we're going to be asked to be dealing with, fiscal issues in the interim of the session. And I think that we need to continually remind ourselves that we're not here to make decisions that are best for the Senate and decisions that are best for the House, that we're here to make decisions that are best for the state of Oregon. And we would do that best by acting as one board, not two boards. And I do support the adoption of the rules that make this one board of people rather than two separate boards.
Mr. President, Ms. Kutcher, I'm sorry.
Senator Carter.
I think, colleagues, if there was equality in numbers, I think that I could feel much more comfortable in having a board that would work in the kind of unanimity that you're speaking about here. But there's not equality on the board. And if there is ever a time when we do think differently as we do, and that's what we're all about, I think that that would be the time that that equality would become an issue at that particular time. So as long as there is not equality, we don't operate as a pure democracy because the numbers speak differently.
Mr. President, yes, I want to talk to the speaker about something. Recognize Senator Gentleman, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My comment's quite similar to Senator Carter's. I feel more comfortable, you know, with the A rules and with that position if there was equity between the two bodies, if the both bodies had an equal number of members. Both bodies obviously represent the same constituencies, the same number of Oregonians. So if the numbers were the same, I'd feel more comfortable. And I realize the history of this and how this changed. I'd also feel more comfortable if representation from both bodies was proportional, which I do recognize that it was a Democratic speaker that changed that so that it was no longer a requirement that it be proportional. For those reasons, because there is not real equity in this and because it is not proportional, that's why I favor the B version of the rules.
Well, is there further discussion?
Mr. President, I call for a roll call vote.
Okay. The motion is on the B rules. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Scott.
Excuse me.
Clarification.
Yes.
Because we didn't know whether it's I for A, nay for B. Yeah.
I think B, the B rules are what's before us.
The B, okay.
Yes, the B, I'm sorry.
So to clarify, this is on adoption of the proposed rules B, which has an additional item number 7 that would say the affirmative vote of a majority of the appointed members of each chamber is required to approve requests made to the emergency board. Representative Scott?
No.
Representative Morgan?
No.
Representative Smith?
No.
Representative Krupp?
No.
Representative Hannah?
No.
Representative Boone?
No.
Representative Chair Minnis?
No.
Senator Schrader?
Aye.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Senator Westland?
Aye.
Senator Gordley?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye.
Senator Morris?
Aye.
Chair Courtney?
Yes.
That's 7 no's and 7 ayes. The motion fails.
Motion fails.
Mr. President?
Yes, Scott.
I would propose to move Rules A forward and adopt those as the rules to govern the emergency board.
President Scott has moved to propose Rules A.
Discussion? Just a brief comment. I think it's okay to go through these discussions. It's important that we have some clarity, have the opportunity to talk about the equality, trying to learn how to work together as we come out of it. I think, as Senator Worley said, a pretty tough session. It is late or early, depending on one's frame of reference here. So I'm actually somewhat heartened by the discussion and understanding that the Speaker and the President's intent is to work together, formulate the agendas on their own. It'll be up to them, not up to us, to formulate the agenda. And with that in mind, and hopefully that will occur, and as long as that's occurring, I'm comfortable, I guess, moving back and going with the rules as Senator Representative Scott has proposed.
Hey, Carter?
Mr. President, I appreciate the fact that you and the Speaker work well together. And with that in mind, if Senator Schrader will accept a friendly motion, I would like to move that we would have unanimous consent. Representative Scott,
is there any objections to the Rules A being adopted? Hearing none, we will operate under Rules A.
Need to set some meetings, Mr. President.
And what should we do there?
We have before us some meeting dates, proposed emergency board schedule. I guess I'd ask Legislator Fiscal to speak to that, particularly the January 07 potential. If it's okay.
Please feel free to do so.
Mr. Chair, members, this schedule that we've proposed to you is very similar to the timing of last session or the last interim, despite the fact that last session lasted a little bit longer than this current session. What we have determined is that the January meeting that occurs immediately prior to the convening of the next legislative session causes a slight workload problem for LFO because we're trying to get materials ready for the session. The governor's budget has been released, and we're trying to do an analysis of that. There's normally a very short time period between the meeting that usually occurs in November, December, and that meeting immediately prior to session starting. And what we would propose is that we don't regularly schedule the meeting in January immediately prior to session starting, but if an emergency situation develops, we could always schedule that at the time, but not plan for that kind of a meeting. And this causes a budgetary savings because it's one less meeting in the interim. And if anything of an emergency nature occurs, we could either do that meeting or the next assembly could take care of it after they convene. And besides that, the rest of the schedule proposed is roughly equivalent to the timing that you had in the last interim.
Discussion of these proposed meeting dates is set out in the memorandum, and I assume it's at each one of your stations.
Mr. Co-Chair, may I ask just a question for clarification?
Please feel free to do so.
Mr. Rocco, are you proposing to delete No, okay, I get it. You're proposing just to go with the list that you have here.
Excuse me, I'm a little fuzzy.
No, but I want clarification on things, Mr. Co-Chair. And that is, are you planning to delete the January meeting that we normally have, as you have suggested here, which is a change in what usually happens, and if necessary, have that meeting, or we wait until we come in for regular session and have a meeting? Maybe that first case.
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, that's exactly correct. We would preserve that time if something occurred between the beginning of December and the end prior to session that required a special meeting of the emergency board. We could always schedule that at any time based on the co-chair's decisions. Okay. But if it was not of enough merit to do it at that time, we could either decide to, you know, not hold a special meeting of the emergency board or deal with it when the assembly met.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I move that we accept Mr. Rocco's suggestion. It is a cost savings to this body, and if necessary, the meeting will be called at the behest of the two of these co-chairs.
Before I move that the memorandum regarding emergency board meetings be adopted, the discussion. Is there any objection to that motion? Is there any other items to be brought before this emergency board at this time?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Senator Westman, please.
I am happy to support Representative Scott's motion that I've already supported in adopting the A's, but I still fail to see in these A's where there is any language that allows us to approve requests made to the emergency board. Maybe that is covered in 9, but the way I read that is just how we change our rules, not how we approve requests brought to the board.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest
Morgan, please.
Point number 6, the last part of point number 6 may cover what you're after.
It does indeed. Thank you.
Any other items at this time to be brought before the emergency board? Emergency board is adjourned.
Get some rest, everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.